Good morning, and welcome to the Business Bunker Extra Radio Show on bizradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk/2 on this Friday, the 2nd of November. It's November.
It's November already.
Where did that come from?
It's cold and dark.
It's cold. It's very cold. You know what? Came back from America on Monday, did not like how cold it is here now.
Well, you went away and they changed the clocks, the time and the weather, didn't you?
I know.
You went away and it was warm.
Yeah.
It was sort of light evenings and the clocks were changed. And then you, on summertime, and then you came back and it was dark evenings, freezing cold, blowing a gale. And all the leaves have fallen off.
Not good. Talk about culture shock. But as you can hear, I am joined in the studio today by my fabulous co-host, Mark Goldfinch.
Hello, Amanda. Hello, everybody.
Thank you for coming back. And in fact, our guest today is also another Mark Kingston Jones from Team Building with Byte.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us this morning. It's great to have you on the show.
How many marks out of 10?
How many marks out of 10? You were waiting for all the Mark jokes. Yeah. It was planned, you see.
We've got to do it.
We planned this so I wouldn't forget my guest's name by having another Mark in the show. but yes, I'm back. Did you miss me last week?
Oh, my goodness, yes. It was, yeah. What did you miss us? I mean, what were you doing in Florida?
No, busy in Orlando, meeting Mickey.
We have an animal theme through this show. Let's talk about some of the animals that you bumped into in Orlando.
Well, you know what? There was quite a few. There was Mickey, there was Minnie, there was Daffy. Daffy and Donald.
Two mice,
Donald and Daisy.
Ducks.
Oh, we did the chipmunks as well.
Chipmunks.
Chip and Dale, we met them. Missed out on Olaf, the snowman.
Oh, okay.
The queue was too long.
It was.
And who else we met? Timon.
Timon, I don't know.
Timon, the meerkat from Lion King.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Oh,
Timon.
Sweet. Who can resist meerkats?
I know, but even if it's like...
You've got a soft spot for meerkats amongst your animal kingdom?
Yeah, no, absolutely. They're always guaranteed to react to anything we do, so we like meerkats a lot.
I love meerkats. But this was like your size meerkat. Quite scary, really.
Oh, okay.
It's huge.
Full size
meerkat. But yes, we had a wonderful holiday. Mm. I don't think I've recovered yet. 6 theme parks in 6 days.
Wow.
Yeah.
My goodness.
But awesome. Absolutely awesome. Amazing, amazing experience.
So you're all set for the sort of Christmas shopping, Christmas sales then, because you will have so much experience with queues.
Exactly. Exactly. It started off when we landed in America and had to queue for 2 hours to get through security.
Yeah, that's immigration.
2 hours.
It is the worst.
It was ridiculous. Yeah. Absolutely ridiculous.
Everybody's a criminal. You're not welcome here.
Well,
you've got the visa waiver.
Quite funnily, so... The week before we went away, our show was a social media security special. And we had Molly and Richard in. And we was talking about, obviously, about being secure online and everything. And purposefully, I hadn't mentioned too much that I was going away. And I was very determined not to post, which was really, really hard for me, any pictures while I was away. Because obviously, we were all away. We was all away from the home. So we didn't want to over-advertise that we were out of the country. Because so many people do. And you're just like, you have to just be a bit more secure these days. And so we had all that. So I hadn't posted much that I was away. And I didn't post much when I was away. As we got to Gatwick and checked in, that was fine. As we went through security, I got pulled over. Okay. As we got to the boarding, I got pulled over again. And as we got to America, I got pulled over again. As I got pulled over 3 times, and I'm like, oh my God, you know what's happened? I think somebody has nicked my identity. Because after that Facebook scare I was one of those accounts that I had to log back in after the scare, which they meant is obviously your account. I'm like, somebody's nicked my identity. I need to speak to Richard because somebody's tried to impersonate me.
Definitely
and I was like, oh my God, they won't let me in anywhere. And I think there was somewhere else where I got pulled. Oh, of course, then when you go into each of the Disney parks, you have to go security. And Paul was just joking, saying, oh, they're going to pull you over here as well. Dodgy girl.
There was one... I went to Orlando to Universal Studios on a company team building. We can maybe talk about this later.
Mm.
But we went on an overnight flight, Heathrow to Washington. And at Washington, one of our team was taken, basically, by immigration, put in a room and left, basically. And we had a connecting flight down to Orlando. And it was the only colour guy.
He was
actually head of department. He was a very senior guy.
Yeah.
But they took him because obviously they were profiling at the time. And in the end, basically, we had to page to say, you know, well, where's he gone? Because he completely vanished, and we had no idea. And when he heard the page and wandered out of this room, he had two American immigration guys with guns telling him to, or shouting at him to lie flat on the floor and don't leave the room. But by some miracle, we made the flight.
They're very severe. But no, we had a wonderful, wonderful time. But I am pleased to be back. Not that it's so cold, but anyway, I do want to hear from you, the listener out there. Twitter world's gone quiet. Where have you all gone?
It's half term.
Is that what it is?
And it's a lovely, lovely autumn day out there. It's like a lovely, sunny day out there.
It's not because Twitter is ruining it by taking away the like button. And
there was almost no freight on the M20. It was just like an empty motorway all the way from the coast.
If you are out there, give us a tweet. Let us know what you're up to. What have you been up to? Obviously, at Bunk Extra, hashtag Be Extra. Give us a call. You know what's going on. There's quite a few events coming up.
What's the number, Amanda?
The number is, are you ready? Give us a call on 01233 220035. 01233 220035. Tweet us first because I never see it flashing. Because it doesn't ring in the studio and I never see it flashing. Yeah. And of course, you can always email me at bunkextra@gmail.com. So, yes, so obviously we weren't here last week. So last week they did repeat the security special. And we actually really got into it. So yeah. Molly and Richard and I, we were talking social media, we were talking security. So much so we didn't have a break. We didn't play no music. We just kept on talking. But it's just, it was what we was looking at, obviously because it's so big at the moment, about, you know, how bad social media is for mental health and all that type of thing. And we was trying to see that, well, there's positives in it as well. Oh, it's about how you
it's
use
about
it.
Managing it.
It's about you managing it yourselves.
You know, this FOMO, which is, you know, fear of missing out. Yeah. It can be a big thing if it's used right, but sparingly.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, people do it all the time. You know, we know there's a version of ourselves which we portray on Facebook and on LinkedIn and on Twitter. And unfortunately, if people are looking at Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter and thinking that's normal life, they're comparing themselves with abnormality, you know, basically with things that are not normal, which are exceptional.
Yeah.
And then they're comparing their kind of sad normal life or regular normal life with this kind of perception of what's going on in other people's lives, which is not necessarily healthy.
No, I think there might. I think there's a slight change happening now, though, because I think since it's sort of been highlighted and since Mental Health and Awareness Week, which I think was really good, it had people up going, well, hang on a minute, I don't have to be, you know,
no, there's a recognition
somebody I'm not.
Now.
So I think there maybe is, we might start to see a slight shift. We'll see. Let's see what happens. But we've got so much to cover in the show today. Come back and they've got all these events going on.
They're up.
We've got a few shout outs on Le Twitter. I'm going to give a shout out to the lovely Lisa Settle from Telcare Limited over there in Medway. She says, have a great morning on the show. We've had a tweet.
Thanks, Lisa.
We had a tweet from the fabulous TD Botty. Terry Botfield. They're at the Marsh Networking. I have got details about your networking.
I've got the two here.
So we're going to read those out a little bit in a little bit. And oh, look, Mark Goldfinch. Mark Goldfinch has been tweeting. Well done, Mark. Do keep them coming in. Let us know what you're up to. Obviously, the focus for today is we're talking events, we're talking business, and we're talking team building.
And animals.
Team building with Bites. I love it. Let's have a quick look at these events, because then I want to get on and talk with Mark about team building with Bite and the animals and everything. And we've been discussing before we came on air, we were discussing about all the animals I saw in America.
Yeah.
But we'll discuss that again in a minute. I've got one here for you, something a little bit different, which is next Tuesday, the Business Book Club. It's on Tuesday the 13th at Market House Maidstone. It's hosted by Claire Harvey. She was a guest on a few weeks ago. She's a business coach. And they're going to be looking at business books and the ones that, you know, some people read a book and it inspires them and everything. Yes. So they're going to be reading them and looking at that. So, of course, silly enough, didn't put down the details of where to contact them. But if you go on the Twitter at Claire Harvey or Google Claire Harvey, you can find out more about that. But
it will be revealed.
It'd be different. Yeah, very different. Also, I've got one here from our very own, the young Ben Abbott. He is hosting a Maximise Your Social Content. It's on the 21st of November in Margate. And it's Maximise Your Social Media Content with this 3-hour workshop on social media, video video, podcasting and personal branding. This is a fantastic opportunity to train members of your team on the effective use of all social media platforms. So all social platforms, as well as having a video produced for your social media profile. Ben is very good. He is the owner of Maximum Media. And so you should learn a lot from him. So if you follow at @MaximumMedia_UK on the Twitter, then you can find out more about his event there.
Yeah, he's passionate about voice, you know, so he runs a podcast. He's been on the show as well, friend of the show. And there's a lot going on the coast, you know, Thanet. There's a lot of creativity in Thanet.
I can see
and in
there's a lot of going on, yeah.
It's actually, you know, so he's based in Thanet, you know, near the Turner Contemporary. So there's a, you know, there is actually, a, you know, another new business full of passion out on the coast.
And all talking about Folkestone, I see that Liu Batchelor has just opened Telex Folkestone.
Telex Folkestone, yeah.
You can now apply to be a part of the next Telex Folkestone, which will be obviously early next year. Mm. So that looks quite good.
The last one was super. So
was it good? Yes, yeah, it was good. I didn't make it, but I want to make this one. I'm even considering applying if I can think of what to talk about.
Oh, you?
Me? Can you imagine?
Short.
I don't know what to talk about.
Go for it.
Just to confirm, actually, sorry, Maximum Media's Twitter handle was maximum_media_UK. If you want to find out more about his event and what he does. What have you got event-wise over there, Mark?
I've got a few events, actually, Amanda. Thanks for asking. Yes, there's, as you mentioned, Terry Botfield and the Marsh Networking. I've got two here, both in November. First one, next Wednesday, the 7th of November, Marsh Networking over coffee, 10 a.m. at the Cinqports Arms in New Romney. Please book in advance. There is a web address, but unfortunately it's a tiny URL. So
it's a Twitter converted URL.
Anyway, so Marsh Networking over coffee. You can follow TD Botti on Twitter and follow that. And a Marsh Breakfast Networking, 7:45, 29th of November at the Ship Inn in Dymchurch.
Fantastic. Terry always has great speakers and lots of interaction at those.
Yeah, so. And he's created this Marsh Networking, which is a big area on Romney Marsh, you know, that whole stretch of coast from basically Hythe to Dungeness, all the villages, the small towns. You know, it's a very dynamic place.
It is.
It's a big place. So he's created this network from scratch, and it's pretty. It's going pretty strong.
It's good. We've just had a tweet from the lovely Katie at Employ V Recruitment. She says she's listening in this morning from Maidstone. Good morning. That's at Employ V. That's EMPLOVEE on the Twitter. And she's looking forward to hearing about the team building. Right. Nice to hear from you, Katie. I have an event. Which is it's November. I come back and it's November and everything. It's like it's getting dark at 5:30.
Yeah,
that I was like, what's going on? Hello, but there's an event coming up. So the Business Bunker Extra radio show have teamed up with Kickstart Social Digital. We are their media sponsors, and on the 19th of November from 8:30 to 5 p.m. at Buckmore Park in Chatham, they are hosting their first Kent one-day social media and digital marketing training event for all small businesses. It's Kickstart Your Business. Get started with social media or brush up on your skills. So if you're good at social media, but maybe not so much at digital marketing, you can learn more there and vice versa. They've got some amazing speakers. The workshops are being led by Lauren Bennett from Evoke Media, Lucy Hall herself, who is obviously the founder of Kickstart Social and Social Day, from Aviso Media, Luke Frake from Space Between, Danny Windsor from Sleeping Giant Media, Becky Sims from Reflect Digital, and our fabulous Amy McManus from AM Marketing. It's a full day with training. You get a CPD certificate for 6 hours, lunch and refreshment, workbooks, and plenty of networking. It's just £45 for
what
you're
going to
get. It's amazing.
Really good value.
For an extra £20, you can stay at the end of the day and go go-karting. So there we go. Do your training and then have a bit of fun on the go-karts. To find out more about that, if you go to kickstartsocial.media on the web, and you can find out more. But it guarantees to be, I think it's one of those, it's actually a training. So they're actually, rather than just giving you an overview, they're going to be telling you what to do and how to do it, which is fantastic. So it's 19th of November at Buckmore Park.
Great.
Good stuff.
Do you want to bring our guest in?
We've got any more events?
We've got a couple more events.
Just do a couple more events, because you know what happens, we get to the end of the show and we run out of time.
We'll
just quickly cover those.
Okay.
And then
So Federation Small Businesses, FSB, Women in Business Brunch, Tuesday the 13th of November, 10 till 12, so obviously late morning, at Base Point in Northfleet. So this looks like a really interesting event. Starts at 10 a.m. We've got welcome from Sue Hainsby of Carlene Lettings, who I know very well from the Network is Networking and elsewhere. Guest speaker is Bird on a Bike.
Our very own Bird on the Bike.
Sarah Ann Lucas. And what she's talking about is Show, Don't Tell. Mm-hmm. And from what I've seen on Twitter, that's actually a really good talk that she gives there.
Yep.
Visit Eventbrite to book £10 at Women in Business Brunch, Bays Point, Northleigh, 13th of November.
Sounds fantastic. Talking of women in business, there's another lunch coming up. Us women in business do like our little brunches and lunches. It's on Thursday, the 6th of December, 11:15 to 2:30 p.m. at Eastwell Manor. It's a Kent Women in Business lunch hosted by Sarah Gaddy from Global. And their speaker is Lady Victoria Borwick, who we're talking about getting into politics.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah, or not, as the case may be. It could be something, it could be interesting. Often they obviously have women in all different ranges of business and how they got into it and mm-hmm. what it's like being in the women, being a woman in that industry. It's just £31.50 plus VAT. If you go to kentwomeninbusiness.co.uk, you can find out more about that. But it is at Eastwell Manor. Now, Eastwell Manor is one of my favourite venues in Kent. It's such a stunning venue.
Well, you ran a Networkers Networking there.
I have run two Networkers in there.
Oh, two, yes. Yeah. But the one earlier this year.
Yeah, one earlier.
It's fabulous. Yeah. So it is a fabulous venue. Yeah. And I've been for a cream tea with my family there as well.
Have you?
Yes, very, very nice.
Good. Yeah, we do like a good venue. I was luckily up in London yesterday. I went to Embankment, Proud Embankment, and it was actually for buyers to meet venues and unique venues. And I was just blown away by the different venues. I mean, see, a lot of people, when they think about hosting events, they think about doing them in a hotel, you know, Hilton Holiday Inn Village, which is fine.
Yeah.
But it's so nice to have an event in a venue that's got a wow factor.
Yeah.
And I spoke to the people from Lords Cricket Grounds.
Yes.
And they've got their old buildings, but they've also got two really modern buildings now, which they use for events, which is amazing. Obviously, the Natural History Museum.
Yeah. Oh, well, we were talking about this because I did when I was working for J. Walter Thompson, we did a winter, well, not a Christmas, but a winter black tie dinner in the foyer of the Natural History Museum underneath the dinosaur that was there, that famous dinosaur.
It's awesome.
Absolutely wonderful with vodka fountains and everything. So it was one of the, and I walked out and it was about midnight and it was January and it had snowed. So basically, you walked out onto Exhibition Road, and it was just covered with this sort of virgin snow. Nice. It was just kind of magical.
Magical, yeah. Well, they've got also, talking to them yesterday, they've got a new exhibition coming in, which is a moon exhibition. So they've got a replica moon that's been sort of made by an artist who's basically taken, you know, they've got lots of photos of the moon and they've made it as lifelike as possible. Mm. And it's going to be a feature. So they're going to have lots of events going on around the moon, but also you can hire the space and have like a full moon party. You can have a dinner party under the full moon. It's only going to be there from May to September next year. So it's very exclusive, but something very different. Mm. And there was the medical museum as well.
Okay.
They were there and so you can sort of have a wander around through all these different weird and wonderful medical history things and bodies and parts and stuff, but then also they've got some lovely event spaces, so it's always lovely finding new venues and using amazing venues.
Do you want me to save these or we'll zip
we'll
through these later?
Yeah, we'll do those later because we want to move on to talking to
we
Mark
do.
Because we're talking about great venues and we know Mark gets to use some amazing venues with the team building that you do.
So hello, Mark.
Firstly. Welcome back onto the show. We'll see, I'm very passionate and excited about what Mark does with team building with Bite. We met via Port Lim, funnily enough, you know.
One of
my favourite places in the world. And they came and did a team building workshop at the Venues and Events Expo that we ran in May. But you work with how many different parks is it now in the UK?
We've got five sort of full-time partnerships that we've got, but the Zoo World is actually quite a close-knit community, so we've actually got kind of connections all over the place.
Mm.
Yeah.
Five that we like to work with a lot.
Cool. And so, okay, we need to. I'm rushing. Let's start from the beginning. Have you always wanted to work with animals? How did you get into the animal world, the zoo world, as it were?
Yeah, I have. I mean, it was since I was a child, I've always been passionate about animals and sort of, you know, trying to do what I can to work with them. But actually at school, I kind of gave up on the idea because I got my biology GCSE and I wasn't good enough to do it for A-level, and it's kind of one of those things where you get told off, you haven't got it for A-level, you can't follow that dream.
Yeah.
So I actually, obviously, as you do, decided to go down the psychology route.
Of course, yeah.
Natural progression.
Absolutely. Isn't psychology one's fallback? I can't do what I want to do, I'm going to do psychology instead.
Yeah, I think it was like animal behaviour, or I'll do human behaviour. Yeah.
Very similar, I guess.
Yeah, can be.
Absolutely. But no, then I actually missed out on my grades that I wanted for the university by just 6 points, which I was like, well, I could go to my second choice, but I really want to go to the University of Stirling up in Scotland. I'd kind of fallen in love with the venue. And so I decided to take a gap year. And while I was on that gap year, I went out to Africa, did some travelling around, got to do some work with animals and realised that actually there was still a way into the industry.
So okay.
While I was at uni, I focused on animal behaviour rather than human behaviour. And it all just kind of grew from there, really. But as is the case with most animal jobs, I started out volunteering. And that's, if you want to work with animals, working for free is the way to do it.
It's the way to do it, yeah, I guess.
Internships.
Yeah. Yes.
Start by mucking out first.
So where, on your gap year, where did you go? Whereabouts in Africa? It's a big place. So did you go to sort of East Africa, South Africa?
We did some work in Tanzania as a community project. And then we did some travelling around with the group. And then I actually just found a leaflet for a place in Zimbabwe that was offering some opportunities to do some stuff with lions. And so I thought, well, I've got a couple of days to kill, I'll go do that.
As you do.
At the point where everyone was saying, don't go to Zimbabwe, I crossed the border on my own. And my mum was having a freak out back home.
Yeah,
18-year-old just crossed the border somewhere there. The British embassy saying, don't go to. I spent a couple of days there, left, and thought, actually, this is what I want to pursue. So I rang them up and said, can I come and do some free work for you? Which I was probably one of the last people to do that, because now if you want to go and work there, you have to pay £2,000 to volunteer there.
Wow. So, really?
Yeah, you don't get free animal experiences anymore. I spent a couple of weeks there, and it just, it changed the direction that I was planning to take, basically. So
fantastic.
The rest is history.
And so then you came back to the UK?
Yes.
And then where did you start in the UK?
So I was at the University of Stirling, and I started working with a professor there who hooked me up with her PhD student. So I did some research assistant work for her at Edinburgh Zoo.
It's good for an undergraduate to have that experience during the undergraduate degree. And that was, the benefit of the gap year being focused on, working with animals. So,
yeah, absolutely. It was voluntary work. I gave her a couple of weeks of summer. It was the fittest I've ever been, because if you've ever been to Edinburgh Zoo, it is on a complete slope. And I was looking at the polar bears at the bottom of the hill and the tigers at the top of the hill. And I had to go backwards and forwards every 15 minutes to switch. So it was good exercise.
Yeah.
Can you have a sort of mule train or a donkey or something? Yeah. Move you up and down.
If only. It was exhausting by the end of the day. But no, it was great. It was a wonderful experience. It really made me realise this was my passion. This is what I wanted to do. Blair Drummond Safari Park is a local safari park to the university. So I started volunteering there, and I got some more research lined up there. At the end of my university time, they said, we've got 2 weeks, education job. If you could fill in while we wait for somebody else to start, would you be up for it? I was like, yeah, sure. And I was there for a year and a half.
2 weeks, a year and a half later.
Yeah. And then I moved down to Kent, started at Howlett's in Port Lyme, and I was there for 6 years in total. So it was a fantastic place to work.
And what were you doing at Howlett's in Port Lyme?
I actually went into the education department. So my plan was always to work as a keeper, but I really enjoy the research side, really enjoy studying animal behaviour, and really... most keepers don't get the opportunity to do that, unfortunately. It's just kind of a critical part of the job, but you're so busy doing everything else in a day, it doesn't happen a lot. So I thought, well, I'll go into education, I'll follow the passion for the research for a bit, and then I'll go back to the working hands-on with animals. And that didn't quite work out, but we started doing these enrichment workshops for people so that they could actually learn about what we do with the animals, all the stuff we do behind the scenes.
So could you... just to unpick this word enrichment. So I've heard you and Amanda mention the word, but I think as somebody from outside the industry, I'm actually not quite familiar with it.
Yeah, no, but I was going to say that as well, because a lot of people probably don't realise what goes on behind the scenes with the animals. Obviously, they come and they see them and they go, oh, and all that, but they don't understand.
No, absolutely.
What happens to help make sure those animals stay happy and healthy, I guess.
Yeah.
So enrichment's actually a bad word, because it sounds like an add-on. It's kind of something we do a lot of courses for students and things. We're like, actually, don't use the word enrichment, because it sounds like an extra. And the whole point of true enrichment is it's built in. When you look at an enclosure, you actually shouldn't necessarily see the enrichment in there, because the enrichment is stuff that is designed to give the animals, you know, physical and mental opportunities to work out, essentially.
So, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's not just, you know, bodybuilding for tigers, it's actually cognitive building as well. It's actually really getting them to use the brain that in the wild they would have to be using to analyze situations and opportunities and, you know, can I catch that animal and sort of stuff like that. So it's really about it's providing them choice and control in their environment. That's the kind of the key.
In the way that they would be as a species, you know, as so, and in the ecology and the environment that they would have been in normally.
Generally. I mean, sometimes we stretch that a little bit. So some of the stuff that we build is not...
Has to be some compromise.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And again, it depends where we work as well, because some people are very serious about, no, it has to be completely naturalistic and it has to fit with the natural behaviour. In other places, they're like, do you know what? We just want to give as many opportunities as possible. And, and there's actually pros and cons to both approaches. There's not a right or wrong way of doing it.
No.
But we have done some rather out there, you know, things. We built a catapult for a colobus monkey, for example, because, yeah, you know, they like actually spend their time leaping from tree to tree, and, you know, the way that they're built is for doing that. And so we kind of thought, well, we'll build them a springy catapult that they can literally catapult themselves around the enclosure. So it's kind of taking a weird concept like that and actually kind of being a little bit free with how you think about it. And going, right, we can provide an opportunity by doing this. So we're very lucky. We have some very understanding keepers, especially at Port Lim, actually. Head of Primates there is brilliant. We go to him with a crazy idea and he goes, you know what? Let's give it a go.
So, I guess that's the thing. If it doesn't do any good, you know, if it doesn't do any good for the animals, then it gets taken away and it's, but it could provide them a lot of entertainment and enrichment.
Well, yes, exactly. Yeah. So what's the favorite you've done for an animal in terms of enrichment so far? What kind of things what kind of projects and equipment have you added?
I mean we've done a lot, to be fair. We've actually, over the years, we've done 125 team builds.
Wow.
So
it's a lot.
Going back through our favorites is kind of actually quite a tricky one, but I think for me personally one of my favorite things we did was actually is a monkey sanctuary in Ascot that's not open to the public. So it's quite, you know, talking about unique venues and stuff, it's about as unique as you get. You wouldn't even know you were there standing on the outside of it. But they literally operate on a shoestring budget. They have, you know, no real money coming in and stuff, but they build amazing enclosures. And they've got this macaque enclosure, which is a kind of monkey, obviously monkey sanctuary. it's 6 meters high. And actually doing stuff in a 6 meter tall enclosure is quite difficult.
Yeah.
So we were kind of thinking about ways, how can we actually make the most of this space? And we actually decided to build a floating staircase in the middle of the exhibit, basically from about 3 feet off the ground to just literally below the roof. And obviously that's great for the monkeys because they can use all the different levels, but it's also great for Jimmy, the guy who runs the place, because he can now actually get to the top of the enclosure as well. So it's kind of a mixed purpose. But we actually had a networking group of people. It was a full day event, about 30 of them, and we got them building these platforms essentially, and then using ropes to pull them up into the air. And just the transformation of that enclosure and that space. And just every time I go there, the monkeys are on it, whether they're using the bottom of it to kind of hide away or the top of it to sunbathe, or it just makes my heart happy to see how much they got out of it.
Fantastic. Well, you know that we've got so much more to talk about, but we're going to have a quick break now.
Quick break.
Yes, and I have chosen a really good song.
Has it got an animal theme?
We was trying to find a monkey song, but we just... Did you know Robin Williams did one called Me and My Monkey?
No, I didn't know.
Yes.
That
we were like, looked at it and no. We listened to it, it's like, no. But we have got an animal-themed song for everybody. So you are listening to the Business Bunker Extra Radio Show on bizradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk/2. It is Friday, the 2nd of November. Believe it or not, already. I am joined in the studio by two Marks. I have the wonderful Mark Goldfinch, and our guest today is Mark Kingston Jones, the founder or co-founder, should I say, of Team Building with Bite. We'll be back right after this.
Fantastic.
You get it? Do you know what it is yet? What animal is it?
The Eye of the Tiger.
Yay! We'll be right back.
Kent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Phoenix Analysts Limited. Business consultants commissioning, procurement and quality assurance services. Helping you to get the most out of your business. Check our website for more details. PhoenixAnalystsLimited.com.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. RiftAccounting.com.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker Extra with Amanda Flanders.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Business Bunker Extra radio show on bizradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk/2. It is Friday, the 2nd of November. I am joined in the studio today by my fabulous co-host, Mark Goldfinch.
Hello. Hello, Amanda. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. The Eye of the Tiger. What a great song.
Wasn't that a good choice? It was better than all the monkey songs we were finding, wasn't it, Mark? And our guest in the studio is Mark Kingston-Jones, the co-founder of Team Building with Bite. And we have just been talking to Mark before the break about how he got into working in the animal world. And he's always been passionate about working with animals, which is great. But he did study human psychology for a brief while. And obviously then you moved on to back onto animal behaviours. And you worked for Hallett Support Limb for 6 years. Mm-hmm. So then how did the idea for Team Building with Bite come about?
Well, we're always quite honest about the fact that our whole process is actually to fix a problem that we've got in the animal world. It's the same problem that everybody else has. It's that time and money are extremely limited. And so essentially, myself and Chris, the co-founder, we're having a conversation about, you know, we've got a load of stuff that we want to do, a load of stuff that we want to try. We haven't got the money. We haven't got the time. How can we fix this? And so this is where the kind of the team building was born. And as I say, we start every team building explaining that to people and saying that, you know, we fix it by getting your time and your money. So thanks for coming along.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
But the whole point of it is we did start it out as a process of improving animal welfare, but we also want to make sure obviously that people enjoy it as well. And it's also a fantastic kind of educational chance to really show people, as you said before the break, about there's so much stuff going on behind the scenes that people don't know about. And obviously, you know, the zoo world does receive a lot of negative attention at the moment.
Yeah, very much.
So actually letting people have a little window and a little insight into all of the really hard work being done, you know, behind the scenes to make sure that these animals have the best lives they can possibly have. You know, most of them can't live in the wild and, you know, for various reasons and things like that. So it's actually making sure that they have the best life possible. And our whole purpose is to help that. But I'll actually give other people the chance to help with it as well. And it's an amazing feeling building stuff for animals.
Mm. So some team building, basically, you know, you go paintballing or something really productive, you know, spend days sort of wandering around in the mud in the field or in the wood. So with the idea, the concept behind what you do is much more productive than that, isn't it? So basically you bring groups from different teams. So are they company teams or are they businesses or are they schools or different types of team, you bring those together, and then you get them to effectively create something for the animals.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so every time we get a new inquiry or a new booking, the first thing I actually want to do is have a conversation with the person on the phone, because, you know, generally people don't just book team building as a, you know, for the hell of it.
Yep.
Some people do actually. Talking to them,
but they have the budgets, they have to spend it. So
yeah, absolutely. But there's usually something going on in the background that, okay, we just actually want to give the teams been working hard. We want to give them a bit of fun. The team's got some issues going on at the moment, some cohesion problems. So we want to fix that. And we have that conversation to find out what is it exactly that you want to achieve by doing our event. And once we've had that conversation, we kind of look at, me and Chris sit down and we look at, okay, well, how much time have we got? How many people have we got? And, you know, what kind of animals have we got to work with? Obviously, depending on the location that we're working in. We do have a list from keepers of stuff that they like us to, you know, to get done.
Mm.
So we'll have a look at that first. But if it's, you know, we don't like to force groups into making something. Actually, we've tried it before and it doesn't work. That was very, very early on in our days.
You have to make this.
Yeah, shoehorning people into an item is actually a really bad idea. So it is, it's bespoke. Sometimes we just go, look, do you know what, we're just going to create something brand new, which is great, because if we try it and it works, then those videos that we put up on Facebook and LinkedIn and everything else, they actually genuinely get shared around the world. There's keepers all over the world that have a look at the stuff that we're making, and we can kind of fix the bugs with them, you know.
Yeah.
Places that would never have the money to experiment and to do something a little bit weird, like a colobus monkey catapult, you know, they can kind of look at, oh, well, you know, that actually I can make that.
So where can we watch your videos?
Team building with bike, basically on Facebook and
YouTube.
And we're actually not on YouTube. We tried with YouTube, but it wasn't getting a lot of attention. So we focused on Facebook and
it's LinkedIn one of those now. Channels. It has to be done right, and it takes the time to study how to do it right and everything. Yeah.
You could put them on Vimeo or something like that. So it's possibly
a platform.
Facebook seems to be the biggest following this.
It works well for you.
There's so many keeper groups on Facebook. There's a lot of interesting stuff out there. But it does. That seems to be the audience that likes it the most. But it's just about, as I say, getting these groups to do something that's out of their comfort zones. You know, most of the people that come along, their day job is working with, you know, keyboards and computer screens, and they kind of, and normally it's just a bit of a surprise. So the person who's organized it knows what it is they're up to. And then everybody else is like, oh God, we're doing team building. And you sort of see their faces when they first come in and like, oh, you know.
And we've got to do something as well.
They've got power drills and saws. What's that all about?
Yeah, their face changes when they kind of go, oh, we're doing team building with drills. This isn't okay. And then we actually tell them what they're doing and they just look at us like, you're insane. I can't do DIY at home. And there's no way I'm going to be able to build, you know, a platform for a monkey or a tiger. But that's actually a really great thing because it means everyone's out of their comfort zone.
Yes.
It means everybody's kind of a bit, you know, the whole hierarchy's leveled.
Yeah.
Even if you do get a couple of people who are real, you know, feel that they're really good at DIY and they're not always actually the best people.
Yeah.
It's just that nobody's told them until that point.
I'm not good with a saw or a power drill. Really not.
As I say, you just get people kind of just having a go and you get a really nice mentoring going on sometimes as well, which, you know, Chris and I love watching people. We love watching animals. But we actually really like people watching as well. Mm. And you just sort of see the kind of things developing in front of you and the end result of they actually standing next to something they've built and going, how the hell did we get...
There's definitely a shared achievement, isn't there?
Well, we've discussed it previously, Mark and I, but what's nice is you're not... It's a combination of mixing on, obviously making stuff that's valuable to the animals, but you also look at the psychology of the humans working behind it and how to make that team building experience.
Yeah.
Work. So it's not just about getting teams of people to build stuff for you for the animals. It's about how they can benefit from the experience of the team building that you do. Yes. So you really take the time to sort of work out, okay, the group of people you're going to work with. You say you speak to the person who's booked it to see if there's any particular issues or areas or, you know, problem people or whatever. And just the time they've all got into it, they're really just all working for the same goal, which is great. And I guess team building and leadership and all that type of thing is tough, I guess, as a business owner and working with teams of people, because everybody's different. Mm. And unfortunately, not everybody gets on with everybody else. So it's making that team work effectively together. And I guess it's something you've experienced in the past, Mark, working in war zones. And team working together as a team is vital in those sort of conditions.
It's having a shared purpose. Mm. It's, you know, which is what you do with your team building. It's you know, and if there's no shared purpose, basically people go in all sorts of different directions, and because the momentum stops, the politics comes out.
Mm.
It's when people are busy working towards a shared purpose, they don't really have time with the politics.
Yeah.
And the, you know, the personal egos and all this kind of stuff. So and also in a war zone, you know, you really have to concentrate.
Yeah. You don't want to lose sight of what the end goal is.
No, it's you know, you subsume the sort of personality and egos to the mission. Obviously it comes out possibly other ways afterwards. Mm. But you know, for the duration of the day, you know, in Mark's case, there is that shared purpose, and you see the achievement at the end of it. Everybody stands there, there's a video, there's photos, and there's that pride.
Mm. I guess you get a lot of competition as well, though, don't you?
Yes, even when there's not supposed to be. You put people up into groups, and they naturally, you know, sometimes we get companies that really want a competition angle, and they get, you know, we had a group recently that said, you know, these guys are super competitive. They're, you know, they're salespeople. Are going to want to win. So, you know, we can play with that, and we can enhance that. But even when it's like, actually, you know, we just want a bit of fun. So, you know, just split them into groups, but it's not a competition. It's always a competition.
There's always a competition.
I was going to ask, actually, I mean, because I don't necessarily take them as gospel, but I think they're useful tools. I mean, what kind of tools, like things like Myers-Briggs and other elements out there that help with looking at, you know, the businesses in the past have or presently use to look at personality types build teams in the HR sense. Do you use any of that kind of methodology? I mean, what methodology, what tools do you actually use when you're approaching team building?
To be honest, it's kind of quite an organic thing, and it's a lot of it actually has just developed over the years as we've been doing more and more of them. We just kind of we've just developed a way we kind of seeing how things can work, and
you've
because
got the experience.
It is such an out there experience, it's not like an office experience. But what we have done before is we've had groups that have done like a morning session where they've looked at, you know, color personalities or Myers-Briggs or something like that, and then we've kind of, if we can get that information in advance, then again we can kind of set up a situation which allows them to test, you know, how well that actually relates to them. And you know, we've done things like that, but actually when we actually design our own team builds, then we don't tend to look at it too much. But we do, we've worked with a couple of somebody we were working with recently, so looks at neuroscience, and sort of actually it was great because she was actually unpicking the hormones that were being released during the team build kind of thing. It's like, you
that
know,
is deep.
Yeah,
but it is. It's amazing. But when you really think about it, because it actually came up because I posted on LinkedIn about the fact I've been climbing around a monkey enclosure, which I probably shouldn't have been doing because I was busy, and I was like kind of procrastinating a little bit. Just have to do some.
Most people, they rearrange the filing cabinet.
Yep.
Yeah. And you were actually climbing around the monkey enclosure.
Yeah. Well, no, I did, and I was like, oh, you know, this is probably a bad thing to do, but I was like, you know, tagged Ellen and said, oh, you know, you must be able to tell me why I did this. And she did, she broke it down, and then we actually had a conversation about, actually this is the stuff that's being released during the team builds, because, you know, they're all of these different things, all of these different, and it's actually amazing when you really think of it. But again, it's nice because you can then relate it back to the way the animals are responding to some of the stuff that they've made. We never really encourage anybody to pick an animal they want to work with, because everyone was always going to go for gorillas and tigers, and actually team building bit stuff for tigers is really difficult because they sleep 20 hours a day.
they're
also, you know, the scaredy cat term is a genuine thing. If you put something brand new into a cat exhibit, there are exceptions, we can think of a couple, but most cats will be like, I'm not going near that.
Really?
What's that? You know,
yeah.
One of the longest delays we ever actually had in an animal responding to something we'd done for a team build was 18 months.
Wow.
And it was for a tiger.
Wow.
Because they went up to it. It was a floating platform at Portland. They went up to it. It was like we'd done all the planning. We knew how it would work and everything like that. The big male went up, put his front paws on it, and it moved, and he freaked out. And he ran away, and because he ran away, the rest of his family were like, we're not going near that. So we actually went back and did another team build 8 months later, and we built a sort of a midway platform that was fixed. We thought, well, then it gives them a nice easy jump for a tiger. They could have done it in the first place, but and still nothing. They like, you know.
Oh, no.
And it was about 18 months from the original build. Chris excitedly sent me a video off his phone going, there's finally a tiger on the floating platform.
Goodness.
And it was actually because there was a young female in the group who was obviously actually at that point, she decided I don't want to be with the others anymore. And the one place that she could go in the enclosure was where nobody else wanted to be. So that was her favourite spot.
So it was still useful.
It was very useful.
So when it was useful, it was extremely useful.
Yeah. Exactly. Yes. If you hadn't provided that opportunity, then it would have been a different social situation. So I love doing stuff like that, where you can kind of really look at how the animals are reacting and read into it. And some of the groups get really into it as well, which is really nice to see. Mm.
So I have to ask, have you had any really bad human beings in the team? The animals. We'll come to the animals after this. But I know time is short. But you know, you must have had some interesting reactions from some human beings.
We have. I mean, to be honest, actually, it's interesting the difference, because we do a lot of keeper training as well.
Oh.
And a lot of people want to work with animals because they don't want to work with people.
That's
so that you do tend to get some real clashes of personalities and things. And actually, again, that's one of the reasons we developed the team building the way we did, because we had a group of three keepers. This was actually in Romania, where we were doing a workshop, and we knew these three keepers hated each other. Like, literally couldn't stand to be in the same room as each other without blowing up into a major argument. And when we were setting up the groups for doing the project sort of thing, the boss said, can we try putting these three together? And I was like, yeah, no, do it. You know, this is the opportunity. If you're going to do it, this is the opportunity.
Yeah.
And about halfway through the build, we had a couple of other keepers running up to us and going, I can't believe what I'm seeing. I was like, the three of them, not only are they talking to each other in several voices and actually working together. But there was a tea break and they all went and grabbed their teas and coffees and they came straight back and carried on working during the tea break. And it's like, this is
wonderful,
completely unheard of. And these are guys that work with animals all the time anyway. And you should be building stuff all the time anyway. But it was just that, like you say, that shared experience. It focuses the mind. It breaks down a lot of barriers. And they want to succeed because they want to give the animal a cool thing at the end of it. So we were like, well, if we can do this with keepers that hate each other, then we can do it with corporates.
Exactly. Exactly. Definitely. What is the biggest team build you've done to date?
Actually, only a couple of weeks ago. We had 106 people.
And I saw it. That's why I asked.
Yeah. No, it was a mission. It was only a 2-hour one as well. So it's quite a tight.
Oh, God. I didn't realize it was only a 2-hour one as well.
The time scales were very tight. And it was we had 15 groups of people working on building stuff for the guys at Port Lim. And it was actually, it was a bit kind of, because it's such a big group and because it's such a tight time scale, we everything had to be planned kind of. And it was actually one of the smoothest team builds we've ever run. All of the timing.
Because it was so well timed, precision.
Because if it goes wrong with 106 people in a room, then it's got to be. So no, it was really good fun.
Did you make?
We made some dig boxes that actually we originally designed for meerkats, because meerkats spend a huge portion of their day just digging, looking for food, and a lot of the time they don't find it. So we wanted to design something that would really get that nice natural behaviour coming out. But we actually made a prototype of it, a couple of teams before that, and the keepers loved it. And then a couple of other keepers said, actually, can you build some for our animals as well? So it was a kind of a perfect opportunity to have 15 of them designed and built in one go. So we actually put them in with the meerkats again, because there's quite a lot of meerkats at Portland. But we also put it in with the capuchin monkeys, Fossa, which everybody loves.
I love the Fossa.
Yes. A palm civet as well, which actually nobody got to see because they're pretty nocturnal, so they generally come out at night. But we're just about to post some video actually of that, because we've got the very nice keepers working with us that even if you don't see something straight away, they actually share video later.
And I guess that's the thing as well. Unfortunately, we're having to round up soon, but from all that you do, so you're bringing these people together, you're doing the team building. So from the team building side, people are driven on a focus to make something. And then from the animal side, you're producing stuff to... What word do you use apart from enrich then?
I mean, it is the only word.
We have to create a new word for that. Yeah. But it's improving their life and helping them with mental stimulation, physical stimulation. And then at the end of it, all of the teams that you work with get to see...
Yeah.
Their item in action in with the animals. I mean, whether it be 18 months later, I bet that team were really annoyed, weren't they? So has anybody been on it yet?
Well, I think, because again, we can never promise. Work with animals, you make absolutely
exactly.
And there are some animals that we're pretty sure they're going to respond straight away, and there are other animals that we're like, they're going to be nervous. If they're a prey species, they're probably not going to run up to something brand new because it might eat them. I think as long as people know that from the beginning, and I say there's loads of really interesting behavior you get from that. For us, from the team building point of view, it's not only having the achievement of building that thing, but it's actually getting to see an animal, even getting close to it or investigating it or sniffing at it is great. And it's a really powerful response. We had one lady who said it was the best job satisfaction she'd ever had.
Did you make somebody cry as well?
It was that woman that cried. She burst into tears. You could just sort of see she was really fighting it.
It's powerful. Powerful activity.
She'd never used a drill before, and she built this thing, and this monkey was clearly enjoying using it, and she burst into tears. It's an out there response, but it's really nice to see that connection with the animals and give someone that connection with an amazing animal.
Okay, so Mark, what's because we're coming towards the sort of end of the show,
unfortunately, okay? Yes.
So what ambitions do you have for the business going forward now? It's grown already. So it's grown just in a few years.
Yes, because you don't only just work in the UK, do you? We've worked abroad as well with...
Yeah, and that's mainly with keeper training, but we're getting some inquiries for team building overseas, but we want to make sure the UK stuff is fixed first. So we want to get that growing. But I think the nice thing about it is there's lots of potential. So something I'm desperate to do is actually mix team building and fundraising, because obviously we work with a lot of animals that are endangered and are in real trouble, and there's a lot of really good work being done overseas to protect them. So if we can actually have somebody come and do a team build at Port Lim and they build something for the bears, we get them excited about the bears, and then they go home and they do a big fundraising thing to raise money for an overseas centre that's rescuing them or something. Mm. There's lots of potential, I think, for that to not only have do great stuff for humans, but really benefit the animals long term. So
it's almost an evangelical approach, really, to sort of try and get people who've been on the team building exercises for this particular species, for these animals, to then embrace them in their, you know, when they're,
yeah,
when the people on the team building are back in the wild,
back in their home environment,
they can actually affect their behaviour as well.
Definitely, and it's a nice corporate social responsibility, but it's also, again, the group effort of raising the money for that project is reinforcing all of the stuff they did during the team build as well. So yes, I think it actually has long-term positive human impact as well. So I think there's a lot of, I've got lots of ideas, to be honest, but
that's a good one. I wish you well with it. It sounds very interesting.
Thank you very much.
So we've already mentioned, but just do repeat where people can find out more about you guys and what you do. What's the easiest way for them to get in touch with you?
So teambuildingwithbike.com is the website. And then we've got the Facebook page is the kind of the most active, and LinkedIn. I'm working on LinkedIn at the moment.
You're doing good with LinkedIn.
We do also have a couple of the guys we work with are running our Twitter accounts and Instagram accounts as well. But just to be honest, contacting my directive, I like talking to people. I like actually having, so if you've got kind of an idea for something, you maybe want to do some team building, you're not quite sure what you want to get out of it, having that conversation and actually allowing us to build a sort of an offering around that. I like a challenge. So yeah. We've had some unusual ones. And some more.
I can imagine. Unfortunately, we've run out of time now, so now you can't tell us. It's like creating an event. You have people, once you start talking about their event, then they get a better idea of, you know, they've got the idea and they want to do this event, but then it's talking about it and putting it in perspective, and then actually can visualise what it's going to and what's going to be. And obviously there has to be an end goal. So from the team building, there has to be an end goal. What do they want to get out of it?
Absolutely.
You can't just say, well, we're team building. Well, why are you team building? So I think, thank you so much for coming on air today and sharing with us. Unfortunately, we have run out of time because we could have gone on for hours. We had things, we still had the animals at America to talk about and all sorts. So we've run out completely of time. Thank you, Mark, for co-hosting.
Oh, it's been a pleasure.
For me today. It was lovely to have you back. Mark is back again next week. Mm-hmm. Am I? Yes, you are. Please. And our guest on next week's show is Julie Daniel, who is the chic stylist. Great. So we're going to be very stylish next week.
Yeah, we met the LinkedIn local last week, actually.
Did you?
She's very excited about being on the show.
Yeah, so that's really great. Don't forget to listen to the Business Bunker show on Tuesday. Paul has got some more great guests. He's from 1 till 3. We'll be back next week. Have a great weekend, everybody. Don't freeze to death. And we'll see you soon. Bye for now.
See you soon. Bye.
The Business Bunker Extra with Amanda Flanders.
This is Channel 2.